He meets us almost at the gate of Holy Week, this disturbing, strange, bandaged character who is Lazarus. And what does Lazarus say to us today? And what is the church's tradition suggesting to us by inviting us to read just this gospel in the week before we enter upon the week of all weeks, Holy Week itself? What is the gospel about? Well, before we go into that question, we might notice how this morning's passage is shaped in the way that many of these central chapters of John's gospel are shaped. It's very like the story of the man born blind, which we would have been reading last Sunday morning, but we were having the gospel for Mothering Sunday instead. In both the chapters, and today's gospel actually cross-references the man born blind, there's an encounter, a situation, a miracle of healing. The miracle is set up by a little exchange of dialogue at the beginning. This is not for X, but so that. In the man born blind, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it's neither that he sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Here again, this illness is not for death, but so that the glory of God may be made clear. And then there follows a series of conversations between Jesus and the principal characters, if one can call them that, the man born blind in chapter 9, Mary and Martha in this one, and then supplementary conversations with a kind of chorus, variously made up of Jews, Pharisees, disciples, whoever. Today it's the disciples with a couple of sentences from the bystanders. And in the shifting of the conversation backwards and forwards, perplexing depths are opened up, which after years of reading and pondering this passage, I have by no means got to the bottom of. But some things I think I see. This is a story about love and friendship and grief and loss. Again and again it's emphasized how attached the sisters are to their brother, how much Jesus loved him, and how deeply moved he is in the face of the fact of death, of Lazarus's death, and of everything that it does to his own relationship with his friend and does to the sisters and his relationship with them. Death has changed everything. And in an extraordinary action of healing, he summons Lazarus back into this life. It's fantastically dramatic. My experience of the story as it's told is very much coloured by something that happened when I was a theological student. My first term at theological college, I was packed off to visit every week at the Nuffield Orthopaedic Centre, which is up at the Radcliffe Hospital. And the chief orthopaedic surgeon, who was a churchgoer, said at the end of the term, well, thank you very much for visiting my patients, but as a thank you, I'd like to invite you to spend an afternoon with me in surgery. It was not my idea of a special treat, because I'm a fairly squeamish character when it comes to this sort of thing. And I can't tell you what I felt like when I walked into the theatre after having scrubbed and gowned up, because we were actually there in the theatre, when I saw the instruments of carpentry laid out on the table for the operation. Well, anyway, when the old hip had been sawn off of this elderly gentleman called Fred, and the new hip had been put in, and he was being stitched up, the anaesthetist began to rouse him from the deep sleep of the anaesthesia of the operation to the lighter sleep which you have when you're wheeled through to recovery. And the anaesthetist does it by shouting your name. So suddenly, and I wasn't expecting it, in this quiet and orderly theatre, the anaesthetist started shouting at the top of his voice in the man's ear, Frederick! Frederick! Wake up!